Richard, come and speak.
Greetings. It's a pleasure to be here. I would like to again thank all the team members who have been a part of this weekend. I think most of you know why they've been here. They were hand-selected to be on this team, and we appreciate the anointing that the Holy Spirit has placed on each of their lives. I want to thank everybody that's had anything to do with this event. I want to thank everybody that's prayed for the event, pre-prayed for the event, everybody that's provided food and housing. Thank you. May God continue to bless you for your kindness that you have shown us. And I know God's Word says that you will be blessed because of it. It's been a while since I've been in a service with a liturgist. And Jason had to remind me of, Jason's heard most of what I do more than I have, I think, sometimes. But the first place I preached after being filled with the Holy Spirit was a church in Burnsville, North Carolina, called Higgins Memorial Methodist. And we had just left a Beeson Institute, which was a nice big Methodist pastor's meeting that they invited us to go to as lay people, which was exciting. And so we stand up, and I knew for the first time in my life I'm going to preach about my new best friend, the Holy Spirit. But before I got to preach, the liturgist had to do his work, and the liturgist's job that day was to read the Scripture. He did a good job reading the Scripture. But then he had to lead the congregation in the Apostles' Creed. And he got to that one great part where he said, "One church, apostolic." And it resonated within my spirit, and I knew immediately what I had become, Pastor. I had become an apostolic. And I will submit to you, I'm not a recovering apostolic. I remain apostolic this day. We've had an exciting time. The Holy Spirit has done some marvelous work in this place. And when I talk about the Holy Spirit, we begin to think about the Holy Spirit. Many times we think about the day of Pentecost, but we got to understand the Holy Spirit has existed since day one of existence. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, in the second verse of Genesis, you'll find out it was the Spirit of God that hovered over the water. The Holy Spirit is never stagnant. The Holy Spirit doesn't just be still. The Holy Spirit is always moving and stirring and waking. And there has been an awakening in this place this weekend. There has been a restoration in this place this weekend. But it's hard for us to believe that same Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. It did. Yes, He did. And the thing I want to share with you this morning is about a fellow named David. Some of y'all have heard about him. What made David different than everybody else? What made David a man after God's own heart? What allowed David to lop the head off a giant as a small boy and defeat a bear and a lion? And I submit to you today, David had something the other people didn't have. He had an anointing of the Spirit of the Lord, which was the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament. Turn with your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to begin with verse 11. And just keep it open, because we're going to go into chapter 17 as well this morning. The Old Testament Holy Spirit was a drizzle, a mere drizzle, and the Holy Spirit fell on certain individuals to perform certain tasks for God. Gideon is an example. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and Gideon and 300 men defeated a mighty army with sticks and clay pitchers because God was the one that won that battle. But it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon Gideon, and when that Spirit came, fear left. And I submit to you today, if you're living your life in fear, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit came, the word fear never shows up again in the entire New Testament. It's replaced with the word boldness. Confidence. See, fear cannot reside where the Holy Spirit dwells. Samson, we remember Samson, the mighty man of God, how strong he was. Why could he be such a strong man? Because he lifted weights. No. Read what happened. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. No mighty deed done in the Old Testament was ever done unless the Spirit of the Lord came upon an individual. From Moses to John the Baptizer, who was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. But we got a unique individual in this David character. David, in 16, chapter 16, 11, Samuel shows up at David's house. And his daddy, Jesse, rounds up all the kids because Samuel has been led to believe the next king of Israel is coming from this family. Wouldn't you have been a proud daddy to have that? Can you imagine having seven sons and somebody shows up and says, listen, the next president of the United States is going to be one of your boys. I can imagine you'd have been somewhat excited. And they line up seven of them and they parade them past the prophet who had that Holy Spirit anointing, Samuel. And he looks at every one of them and said, no. Don't you have another son? Now that's the Holy Spirit, folks. How did Samuel know he had another son? He brought everyone he had, he thought. Can you imagine David's feeling that day? They line up somebody in your family that's going to be the next king of Israel, and they don't even invite you to come to the parade. That's amazing to me. But David got over it, didn't he? Chapter 11, Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the young men here? And he said, yep, but there remains yet the youngest, and he's out there keeping the sheep. And so Samuel says, well, bring him. So he sent and he brought him in, and he was ruddy, and he had bright eyes. He was good looking. I don't know who put that part in there. That's pretty cool. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. We're going to have a glory service in this next service, and there's going to be some anointing, and God's going to say, anoint this one, because this is the one today. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Read that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. But it says something remarkable. It says from that day forward, David is the only man in the entire Old Testament where the anointing of the Holy Spirit fell and never left. It was not a drizzle. David was the only one that received that anointing upon him, and it remained from that day forward. Why could David do things nobody else could do? Because he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him the rest of his life. Did he mess up occasionally? You better believe he did. We worship and minister in prisons with offenders. David should have been locked up, folks. David should have been removed from the throne of the kingdom of Israel because he was an offender. He was an accessory to murder. That's just part of what he did. But that anointing on David's life allowed him to do something that most of us have never considered. When he found out that he had been found out by the prophet, he repented on his face for 7 days. Why did God restore him to that position of prominence? Because he understood repentance. Why did he understand repentance? Because he had the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. This next story, I'm going to hit the highlights starting in verse 17 because John said I didn't have but 2 hours this morning. The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle at Soko, which belongs to Judah. And they encamped between Soko and Azekah and Ephes Damon. The Philistines stood on one side of the mountain, and there was a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. And it talks about how big he is, and it talks about all this stuff he had. And Goliath stood and cried out to the armies of Israel, and he said, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down and fight me. Because if he's able to kill me, we'll be your servants. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The biggest fear of God's church today, the biggest problem, the biggest mess we have is a spirit of fear. It leaves you in prison, literally, in your own house, your own car, your own job, your own body, your own mind. Verse 16, the Philistine drew near and presented himself. For 40 days this giant showed up. Read this carefully. He showed up morning and he showed up evening. Jesse begins to send his son David. Now, David's job is to go check on his brothers. Jesse said, carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers are doing. Bring us back news of them. David got up early in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper. He took the things and went as Jesse had commanded, and he came to the camp. And as he began to talk with them, he found out about this champion, the Philistine, verse 23. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid. There it is, second time. Coming all the way back down to verse 29, David said, listen, is there not a cause here? Then David said to Saul in verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of this man. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, well, you're not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him. You're just a youth. And he's a man of war from his youth. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And I've already whipped a lion and I've whipped a bear. So Saul decided, verse 38, he's going to clothe David with his armor and put on a bronze helmet. And he clothed him with a big old coat of mail. David put all this stuff on, and according to verse 39, he couldn't even walk in it. Get the visual of that, would you? Saul was the biggest guy in that army. They tried to put his armor on a little boy. He couldn't even walk. So David took his staff, verse 40, chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. The Philistine came again, drawing near David. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He's just a youth, but he was ruddy and good-looking. Now, y'all remember that part. And the Philistine said to David, listen, come to me, and I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Verse 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came near to meet David, David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine in his forehead, and that stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Later into this, you'll find that David stood over that giant, took that giant's sword, cut his head off, and verse 54 says David took the head of the Philistine, brought it back to Jerusalem. What did he do with it? Put it in his tent along with his armor. I want to talk to you today about lessons learning from giant killers. That's what I want to talk about. The team we brought to Galloway United Methodist Church this weekend are a team of giant killers, and that's why they were invited to be on this team. They do not walk in an ordinary anointing. They do not allow the things of the devil to overtake the army of God. You see, David knew something that the rest of these people didn't know. David didn't work for Saul. David was not in Saul's army. David was in the army of the Almighty God. And he knew that the resource center that is heaven was open and available to him to call down at his beck and need. Do you know that here this morning in this church? I'm going to tell you about something today that's so powerful it can move mountains, so powerful it can literally keep giants from coming up in your life. I'm going to tell you about something this morning that is so mighty and all-powerful that it can keep the devil from being even allowed to touch you. It's called praise. And we don't know how to do it today. Don, you can pay me later. I want to show you how this story about a small boy and a giant can change your life and change the life of everybody that crosses your path. The first thing I want you to see is this. The Philistines had gathered in Soko, and the scripture says they had gathered in a place that belongs to Judah. Anytime a giant comes up in your life, that giant is trespassing on a land that is reserved for the highest praise. Judah, highest praise. And I'm here to tell you, just like that giant Goliath, the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night, that giant will taunt you if you allow it to. The first thing in the morning should be words of praise off your lips when your feet hit the floor. The last thing at night, And all day throughout the day should be continual praise for what God has done for you. David would not allow the giant to have his praise. What I want to submit to you today is this. The giant was mocking God when he made his claims. David was not being mocked. The army of Saul was not being mocked. God Almighty was being mocked by those claims. And David took it serious. I'm here to tell you this. The giants that come up in your life will mock God's ability to see you through your fears and your anxieties. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. We've talked about the fact that this giant, these people were in camp. They were trespassers in a land reserved for highest praise, Judah. It's interesting that David came from Judah. He came from a land of praise. And he knew the value of praising his way to victory. What I want to submit to you today is several things happen in this story we got to pay close attention to. The first thing that happened when David, when nobody else would rise up and fight the giant, the first thing that happened was David's brothers tried to convince him he couldn't. Negativity. Folks, I'm telling you what, stinking thinking's got to get out of the church today. With God, all things are possible. What part of this do we not understand? With God, all things are possible. With man, no thing is possible. The thing we got to understand is this. We cannot continue to operate in negativity. We get a doctor's report and we put on sackcloth and ashes. We don't seek a higher power for healing. Listen to me, God is not opposed to the medical field. God is not opposed to doctors, but He is opposed to being second on the list. Holy Spirit spoke to me in front of a Pentecostal church a few months ago and said, I am offended by this. And it was a handicap sign at a church. Now, that didn't speak to anybody here today, I don't think, but it spoke to me that day. That sign offends me and my ability to heal. Listen, David did not allow the king to put a bunch of junk on him he couldn't carry. If you want to be a giant killer, folks, you can't hang around people that want to continually put their junk on you. Because it will weigh you down. If you want to be a giant killer, you better start hanging around giant killers. And folks, there's some in this church, and they're not hard to spot. David knew from his past experience God had seen him through. God had showed him how to kill a lion and a bear with his bare hands. This uncircumcised Philistine wasn't going to be no challenge. The thing I want us to understand is this. That giant taunted David with death. What are the giants in your life taunting you with today? Debt, fear, anxiety, cancer, divorce, diabetes, bankruptcy, asthma. What are the giants coming up in your life today? What are they taunting you with? The next thing I submit to you this morning is David did not allow the giant to bring the fight to him. He advanced the fight to the giant. It's time the church got off the love boat and got on the destroyer. It's time the church understood that it has been given the entire resource center of heaven to go on the advance and take the fight to the devil. Do you realize the devil has no power over you that you don't give him? We say demons and devils in churches and people become afraid. When that word is spoken in a church, you should stand up on your hind legs and begin to declare, I know a God who can defeat the devil. And he's already done it time and time again. Let me tell you how weak the devil is in front of God. The devil, who's the author of all lies, and Joel tells the truth. When God asks him a question, think about it. Devil can't even lie to God. What David did is he took five smooth stones and a sword. And he took the head off a giant that day. What have you got today? What are the weapons of your warfare today? You too have a sword. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Bible. It's the Constitution of the Kingdom. It's not a religious book. It's a legal book. It's the old will and the new will. And every promise in it is your inheritance. Claim it. Claim it and declare it, I might add. It's one thing to know the Bible. It's a whole other thing to apply it in your life. The next thing I submit to you, that you have the ability to pray. You have the ability to do what at one time only a high priest could do. You have the ability to go into the Holy of Holies at any given time you want to. And the incense in heaven today is not that incense that came swinging in as that high priest walked into the Holy of Holies. The Bible says it's your prayers that's the incense of heaven today. Listen to me, you have a power of attorney in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you begin to pray in His name, He takes that request to the feet of God Almighty and asks God to move on your behalf. How can we look at prayer as anything other than the mightiest thing that's ever happened? I'm here to tell you something, folks. Without prayer, nothing happens. The next weapon you have that you need to understand is praise. I'm here to tell you, folks, if you want the devil to leave you alone, begin to praise God. The devil and God both want your worship. And I submit to you, in everything you do, every hour of the day, one of the two of them's getting it. The next thing that I'll say here in closing is this. After killing Goliath, David took Goliath's head and Goliath's armor back to his tent. That's significant. Not in my house. Not in this house. Devil, you may get away with it down the street, but not in this house. Not in this church. There's some lessons to be learned here. A small boy, armed with five rocks, a strap of leather, and a rope, speak volumes to our life. The reason they speak volumes is this: that small boy had an anointing. When Samuel took a horn of oil and poured it on the head of David, it would have been impossible not to know he had been anointed, because he would have looked like a drowned rat. Yet I'm going to tell you something here today, friends. When that Holy Spirit anointing comes upon you, it will be impossible for all those around you not to see it. Because the glory of God will be seen through everything that you do. You will shine for God. If you don't remember anything else about this lesson today, remember this. Come with praise and defend your praise. Come with praise and defend your praise. Praise your way through life. Surround yourself with praise. If you don't have praise in your home, get it going. Get some praise worship. If hymns are the way you praise, then crank them up, honey. If you praise through contemporary worship, if it's prophetic worship, I don't care what kind of worship it is, worship's worship. It doesn't have categories. It's worship. But you must surround yourself with worship, not 60 Minutes, not the network news. Throw your newspaper out of your house today. That's dead stuff, folks. That's not life. The greatest anointed man that ever walked this earth, other than Jesus, was Smith Wigglesworth. He would not allow a newspaper in his house, because he called it the devil's lies. What are we focusing on today? Let it be praise. When these giants begin to come up in your life, declare the word of God over your fears, your finances, your children, and your health. And after you've won the victory, take the enemy's stuff back into your house and taunt him for a while. Not in my house. Not in my house. Not in my house. Friends, this has been a glorious weekend here. It's been an opportunity for us to grow, meet new friends. Somebody asked me a question this morning. He said, as you step back from this and you begin to process what's happened here, how are you going to remember? Wasn't the right word, and I don't see them here this morning. It was more of a military term. Debrief was what they said. I'll tell you how I'll debrief. I'll debrief if a group of giant killers was raised up here this weekend, who refuse to lose in the name of Jesus Christ, who understand they don't work for the Army of the United States, They don't work for the army of the Methodist Church. They work for the army of Almighty God. And they refuse to lose. They advance the cause. They take the fight to the enemy. Friends, I know we got a lot to do this morning, and we're not going to have time to minister right now, but here's what we're going to do. And I want you to take this as serious as a heart attack, folks. I saw something on Main Street in Franklin that hurt my heart. Inspirational pill boxes. That's what it said. In a drugstore. Inspirational pill boxes. Said on the outside of the box, God loves. Yeah, God loves enough to heal. That just kind of was an oxymoron to me. What I want you to know is this today. If you came in here with fear today, don't leave with fear today. Listen, it can be broken of you instantaneously and it will not return in Jesus' name. If you came in here sick today, if you came in here with a breathing problem today, don't leave here with a breathing problem today. We had people healed in this place last night as the power of God came upon men and women like you to touch and heal and deliver and empower and equip. We're going to close this service in the normal, typical manner. But if there's anything going on in your life today that's not God, that's got to go, we're going to hang. And we've got till 10:45. We'll hang till 10:45. We want to minister to you today in an apostolic way through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I believe fear is the greatest enemy of this church. The Holy Spirit has shown me that. Fear. Listen to me. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. And there was nobody there. It's time to grow your faith in this place. Many of you, for the first time, it's time to take that act of faith. It's time to begin to walk the walk and talk the talk. It's time to declare and demonstrate. And when the service is over, we're going to stay up front. Some of us are going to have to go and teach Sunday school, but we're going to be here to minister to you, pray for you. If there's somebody in your family having the problem, God's got the answer. And we'll be here as long as you need us. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we, like you, have overcome the devil. Lord, we thank you that every resource in heaven's open and available to us at our beck and call. We thank you, Lord, that the warehouse that is heaven is open today. Lord, that you're distributing today hope and faith and love and power and healing mercy. Lord, I thank you today that even though we have put other gods before you, you have been faithful to us. And God, I just pray today the power of the Spirit that's in this place to restore the church to that glorious church in the book of Acts would continue to move and work and remain. Purge. Heal. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.